Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
We are live here on Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is officially heard or has been heard in 27 countries. I am blown away every time we come here weekly live that there's another country or somebody else sent me a message saying how much they love the show. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, from those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here we tell the stories of why we are doing what we're doing to help transform others. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a live show. So on the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting and elevating everyone in the world around them. If you have a question for any of the guests or you have a question for myself, again, this is a live show, so you can call in at this number, 657-383-1109. Again, 657-383-1109. And my guest today is no different. He is completely transforming people's lives, making a huge impact, and I want you to help me welcome to the show, Mark Mawini. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
I am doing amazing. I am so pumped that you're here, man.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? I'm excited to be here. Live radio is always a cool thing. I'm used to recorded, right, for podcasts. So
okay.
This is raw and real. You know, if kids run into the room screaming and all that stuff, we'll keep it real.
Yeah, absolutely. So here today, we're going to build successful businesses with Mark. So Mark Mawini is a lifelong entrepreneur who's on a mission to help coaches build successful businesses. He achieves this with his coaching program, his podcast, Natural Born Coaches, his Facebook group, The Coaching Jungle, and his exclusive print newsletter, Secret Coach Club. And you can learn more about that at www.secretcoachclub.com. And he frequently makes media appearances and is a contributor for entrepreneur.com. And you can learn more about Mark at www.naturalborncoaches.com. And at Twitter is at Mark, M-A-R-C, at Mark Mawini, and www.thecoachingjungle.com. So I am so pumped to learn how you help coach people to build successful businesses, because I'm building a business. I got some other entrepreneurial friends that are building businesses. So I am pumped to know kind of your way of doing things. You know, I think every coach is different, but I'm so pumped to know what you're about and kind of the tools that you bring to the table.
Oh, good. Well, I'm excited to share.
I am pumped. So we're going to rock this thing. So the first question I always ask every guest that comes on the show is why. I feel like this has to be the most important question that you ever ask yourself is why. So Mark, why do you do what you do? Huh.
Well, there's two parts to my answer. The first part is I'm a coach because I basically was in, not literally in the gutter, but pretty darn close after going through business closure. My past life, I was in real estate and was riding high. Everything collapsed. And I'd never worked with a coach or any mentors or anything really before that. And it was after going through failure and stumbles and defeat that I was introduced to actually several coaches. And that's a big reason why I was able to pick myself up from a really, really bad position. So that's the first reason why. The second part, why I work specifically with other coaches, that, you know, essentially I'm a business coach. It helps coaches set up their businesses, as that's very confusing, is because I know how frustrating it is for coaches to get rolling. You know, when I started, I was throwing a ton of spaghetti at the wall and seeing what would stick and just beating my head against that wall in frustration. And it was really, really hard to figure it out. So as I figured it out, I want to share with others so they didn't have to go through the same pain and frustration. So there's the two answers to it.
Perfect. That's great answers. I learned kind of early on too that, you know, there's one way of doing it where you just struggle and kind of figure things out on your own. And then there's another way of doing things where you find somebody who's more successful than you, who is doing the things that you want to do, making the money that you want to make, and you go work with that person on building your business together. And he's coaching you or she's coaching you on how to do it. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, it's definitely much, much easier that way. So don't get me wrong. I love books. I'm constantly reading books, you know, Kindle. I got the Audible going for audio books, hard copy books, but there's only so much that you can learn and take from those books. And if you're sitting down with someone sitting down next to Sean, who's gone through, you know, a lot of the same issues and gotten through the other side, then it's going to be much easier to do it that way. So I always say that the world needs coaches. And I know that sounds maybe a little melodramatic because people think, well, no, the world needs doctors and the world needs police officers, but doesn't need coaches. But I really do think that more people need coaches. Or I could also say coaches make the world go round. That's my other saying that I believe. So I think
nice.
Very important.
Yeah, I didn't even realize when I got into the like really hardcore into like the public speaking and building the speaking and training business and doing what I'm doing and doing the show, I had no idea that even Tony Robbins has a coach. Like there is a guy that helps Tony Robbins. I'm like, but he's the top guy though. Like, but it's true. Like there's a guy who is helping him. You know what I mean? He's not just doing it all by himself. He has a team of people. And I didn't realize that some of the most successful people are working with coaches, and that is why they're successful.
Oh, it's true.
No
and I mean,
kidding.
Look at Tiger Woods, when he was at the top of his game, he always had coaches. I just read a book by Hank Haney, one of his coaches, and you'd think, oh, Tiger Woods doesn't need to, this is when he was in his prime, doesn't need to adjust anything. He's just destroying the field, but he was constantly working with coaches and getting feedback. So you can be the most motivated person in the world. You think, okay, I can keep myself accountable. It's a lot harder to do that. So you do need that second set of eyes helping you out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The next question that I always like to ask, and I love the answers I get to this, who were you before you got to this point? You know, you can pick 5, 10, 20, you know, however long, right, you've been at it, right? Like who was Mark, you know, 10 years ago or something, you know, whenever you had started to transition into coaching and getting, you know, the business rolling and everything? What kind of guy was Mark?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I was going through a real estate hangover. So for many years, I was identified as a real estate guy. And I always thought I'd be doing real estate for the rest of my life because I started real estate right out of university when I was 21 years old. And looking back, I'm thinking, thank God I'm not going to be selling real estate and things at when I'm 80 years old. Shoot me. So I always identify myself that way. So coming into coaching, it was interesting because in a way I felt like I had a big part of my identity ripped away because I wasn't doing real estate anymore. But it was also refreshing because it was a chance for a fresh start. And even more important for me was I was getting very frustrated dealing with people in my small local sandbox. You ever hear the stories of crabs in a bucket? I was dealing with a lot of crabs in a bucket. Couldn't get a parking ticket without people crapping on me. And I just was really fed up with it. And now I'm working with people all over the world. I mean, you're in, what are you in, North Carolina or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
You're in North Carolina. Yeah, you and I would not have been chatting, right? I'm on the East Coast of Canada. I was in a small local market selling houses. And I thought, hey, this is my whole world. And now I've been able to just get all over the world. You know, I was earlier this year speaking in social media marketing world, San Diego, and I meet all these cool people from
that's
my
awesome.
Podcast and yeah, everything else. And that would not have happened if I hadn't gone through it. So to answer your question, I was going through an interesting transition. I was coming out of my cocoon, my real estate cocoon, and getting into coaching. And I'm a much different person than I was 10 years ago. I think everybody is, but you know, back then when I was getting, starting my business, my son was very young and now he just turned 9 years old. You know, he was barely born back then. And just a lot of changes going on in my life. So I'm very happy, very grateful.
That's awesome. And you know, I'm in a couple masterminds and all these guys started in real estate too. You know, they got their sales, they made their bones, you know, they cut their teeth, you know, in the real estate market and then started going out and doing some other coaching and some other business stuff. And what is it about real estate that just drives people there and they branch out and do super amazing things?
It's an interesting business. I joke around, a lot of people think, oh my God, you hate real estate. I had a decade of a lot of fun in real estate. But I didn't know any better. It had zero work-life balance, right? Like I'd be in the shower with a cell phone in my ear working on a deal. And you go to a movie, turn your phone off for 2 hours, you get out, you know, 55 messages. And, you know, there's just no – weekends were non-existent because that's when real estate people work. And the problem with real estate is you always had – either you had tons of time when you got started but no money, or you had lots of money but no time, you know, later on. And the thing – coaching is you can work out both of them. It's I'm doing as well as I was in real estate, but with a much better balance. I'm not working 100 hours a week either. Now I work a lot of hours. I'm not a 4-hour work week guy. I'd go crazy, but I'm able to take a little more time off and stuff for the balance. So I don't know. I think with real estate, it's a great business to prepare for coaching because you're used to going out and eating what you kill. You know, you're going out of your cave and having to hunt, you know, and prospect and bring things back. But yeah, that part of it prepared me very well for coaching because coaching is a business and there is sales in there, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I'm starting to learn that too. I had no idea that that speakers, you know, are on the stage, but behind the scenes they have some products, a book or an online program or, you know, there's different things that they create that really supplements the income when they're not speaking. I had no idea. I thought they just spoke every day and then that was the end of it. Nope, I was mistaken.
Exactly.
Yeah. So can you pinpoint exactly what your transformation was? Like, what was the moment where you were like, okay, enough with the real estate. I want to transition into coaching? Or, I mean, was it subtly, or what exactly was your transformation moment?
It was not subtle. It was probably about as messy as you could get. So I went through not one, but two business closures. 2009, I went through, I had a real estate brokerage with about 100 agents and employees, two offices, signs all over the marketplace. And, you know, I was, you know, thinking life is grand and everything's going very smooth. And then bang, everything collapsed. And if I didn't learn the lessons from 2009, they got hammered in my head in 2012, because I got back into real estate doing more of the flipping side of it and real estate investing, and just a horrible time between 2010 and 2012. The market was dead. The market still is dead really here, but the market was dead and just really bad when it came to interest rates and fees for borrowing and all this other stuff. Was not a good model at all. And I shut it down in 2012. So the most difficult thing for me and the part that I pinpoint was I hit a point where I could take quite a bit of stuff. You know, I got a thick skin. I was getting attacked by the local media constantly. Here's this evil entrepreneur who closed his business down and everyone's out of business and all this other stuff.
Oh,
but
man,
it got to a point where it got a little bit too much, a little silly. Like it was like, oh my God, come on. You know, like I mentioned before, I'd get a parking ticket and, you know, there'd be a story in the paper. And I remember doing a speech after my business closure in my market. And it was a speech talking just for entrepreneurs, you know, and I look at the front row there and there's a reporter from the newspaper covering little old me. And I thought, oh my God, guys, I am not that interesting. Do you really have to, you know, what's next? You're going to go through my frigging garbage or something. So I just hit a point where I got really tired of playing in that small local sandbox. And I read a book called Thick Face, Black Heart. And this was a little bit later on, but Thick Face, Black Heart has something called the leapfrog theory in there. And I won't go into it, but long story short is if you're getting hauled down by those crabs in a bucket in your local area, then you can leap. And the author of that book essentially was having the same issues I was having. She said, screw it, from her city. She said, I'm going to write books. I'm going to get on TV, going to get in newspapers and everything else, and I'm going to leapfrog everybody. I'm tired of getting tied down and held back by petty people. And that's essentially what I decided to do. I got tired of being held back by small minds here in my province in Canada. It's not forward thinking. It's not very pro entrepreneur. I said, I'm done with it. I want to meet some new people, do some new things.
Wow. So where exactly in Canada?
I'm in New Brunswick. So there's a great tourist.
New Brunswick. Okay.
You know, tourism, New Brunswick area. We're small minded. We're not entrepreneurial. Come visit us. No. It's a beautiful province. It's a beautiful province, three seasons of the year. Winter can be a little bit harsh being in Canada, but the rest of the year is great. And it's a beautiful spot. Don't get me wrong. People are very nice, but it is not, even like, say, North Carolina, you know, my business closure probably wouldn't have made page C20 in your newspaper. It certainly didn't warrant front page news as much as it did. And so it's not California, we'll put it that way, Carolina, when it comes to business.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. So I got a two-part question for you. So we pinpointed exactly what your transformation was. Really, that's what the show is all about, is figuring out like what I was doing and where I was, where I am, and exactly what was that pivotal moment. Because a lot of people get stuck and like, I have no idea what to do. And once you figure it out, then you can move forward. And that sounds exactly what you did. So what exactly was the best part, or has been the best part, about your journey and your transformation so far?
The best part would be having been written off by pretty much everybody. There were some people supporting me in my corner, but for the most part, everybody just shunned me. I was like, you know, Ebola or one of those viruses, you know, that comes out and everybody wrote me off and said, this guy's done, you know. And what I realized is there's some people that won't be happy. You could be laying in a ditch, you know, or homeless, they won't be happy. Or if you have a super successful 6-7 figure business or not, they're going to be bitching about that too. So best part of it was being able to prove some people wrong and say, hey, you know what? I'm not done. I'm just getting started. I'm going to take the lessons that I learned from this situation, messy situation. I'm going to put it to good and do some stuff with it. So that would be the best part. I think critics and haters can be a tremendous source of motivation if you use it properly. So don't get yourself down or get beat up by those people. Just take that and kind of internalize it and use that to fuel your energy. And, you know, pretty soon you're going to be able to leapfrog past those people.
I love it. I love that. So the second part of that is, what has been the worst part about your journey and your transformation?
Oh, one thing I found, and probably found the most challenging, is I'm a pretty social guy. So I was always used to being in an office and being able to shoot the breeze for a few minutes in the morning, talk about what happened on Survivor last night. We'd have our hockey or baseball pools, you know, and stuff like that. So we'd work and we'd have fun. And I really enjoyed that part of it. So you know what it's like when suddenly you're a solopreneur, you're a coach or a speaker is even worse. You're spending some time on planes and things. But working.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, my God, you're living the dream. You're working from home. Man, I feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I don't even have a volleyball with a face painted on it, you know, Wilson. So I am sitting here right now. I'm at my desk. I'm looking at, I have an iPhone holder, which is Han Solo frozen in carbonite. So that's from The Empire Strikes Back, I guess, with Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars fan. And that's my version of my volleyball. That's my Wilson. So I get to talk to Han Solo. But my partner, Julia, who you know, she works from home as well. And she has a podcast interview booking service. So that helps. It means, but there's still those challenges when you're used to being social and doing all that stuff, like I was with real estate, on the go all the time. Suddenly you're working from home and it can play head games with you if you're not careful. So I always say home-based entrepreneurs have to make an effort to get out, go for walks, get to the beach, you know, go for trips, do different things. You don't want to be stuck at your desk too long. Even though you're at home, people think it'd be great to work from home. It can play some head games with you.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I never looked at it like that because, you know, like in September, I'll be going from Kansas to San Diego. Like one day I'm in Kansas and the very next day I'm in San Diego and then the very next day I'm going, you know. So, yeah, I kind of never realized that. That's good insight. Appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
So I got to ask you, and I'm always – I love this question. It's probably one of my favorite questions. Who has been your biggest influencer throughout this whole transformation?
Biggest influencer, I would have to say, would be my probably my little guy, my son, Gray. Gray is just turned 9 years old. And when I went through that business closure back in 09, he was about a little over a year old, which is terrible timing. Anyone who had kids, you know, you're stressed out enough having a child being born, and all of a sudden you throw in all the business crap in there. But the reason that I would say that he fits that role is he was my biggest motivator, you know, going through some really dark times. I didn't have the luxury of closing my drapes in my bedroom and laying in bed all day and not, you know, doing anything, because I had a mouth to feed and I had somebody that I had to support, you know. And anyone who's a father or mother knows that once you have a child that's born, it changes your perspective on anything. So I remember back when I was in my early 20s, a fellow agent had a child. And I remember talking with him about it. And he said something like, you know what, I'd take a bullet for my kid. And at the time I thought, you're crazy, man. Like, you know what, hey, I love my parents, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know if I'd take a bullet for them. Once I had my son, then suddenly that changed things. No doubt about it, I would take a bullet for him. I'd step in front of a train or whatever. But until you actually have a child, you don't really realize that, right? And yeah, he's been the big influencer, biggest motivation. And we're very lucky now because my partner Julia has an 8-year-old girl, and there's extra motivation as well. They're both around the same age. And any entrepreneur with kids knows that's the most powerful fuel. Beats any sort of energy drink or coffee you can have, kids.
All right. Very, very true. So on the flip side of that, of the influencer, who's been your biggest supporter or supporters? Maybe there's a couple.
Biggest supporters, that's interesting. Family's been really important. I have, as I mentioned, my partner, Julia. She helps. She does a lot of stuff for my podcast with bookings and things, which takes a lot of weight off my shoulders. I have a twin brother, Matt. He handles my podcast editing with his company, which I was very happy to hand off my editing duties to him after 300 episodes of Natural Born Coaches. He started that business. So I said, here you go. Knock yourself out, because I'd rather get a root canal than edit podcasts personally. So I would say the family has been very big that way. And, you know, obviously my parents and all that stuff. But it's really cool to be able to do something where people close to me can actually work, not for me, but they're working. They have services that support what I'm doing. And that's a cool feeling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. So do you feel like your transformation is complete? You got all these supporters and people who are influencing you to be better. Do you feel like your transformation is complete? You're exactly where you meant to be, or you still have a ways to go?
Oh, heck no. I think if you're not constantly transforming, then something's probably wrong. So as I mentioned, I look back 10 years ago as a totally different person. And 10 years from now, if we're doing an encore in 2027, I would hope I'm not the same. I hope to look back and say, oh man, I'm a lot wiser now. You know, Mark was pretty foolish back in 2017. I'm light years ahead. So I think once you get complacent, you don't try to improve and, you know, and transform and stuff. I think that that's a dangerous place to be. So I don't think I'll ever be there. And I don't think I ever want to be there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I cannot remember who said it, but I hear it all the time, but I can't remember who exactly. Maybe it was like Steve Jobs or somebody, but somebody had said one time, it was like, if you're not growing, you're dying. And when you're dying, you've got nothing to live for, you know? So I'm like, holy crap. So
yeah.
I always take that in, like, man, I've got to do something. I've never been able to just sit, and it makes my wife super mad. Because I'm like, I got to be doing something.
Yeah.
I want to build something.
We're
I want to do something great. I want to
Well, that's the reason why you see people who retire and then they die a couple days later, you know, and they've been used to for 40 years, 45 years working and feeling needed and useful. And all of a sudden they're sitting in the lazy boy. Again, it sounds like a perfect life. Oh, I can go fishing and golfing every day and all that stuff. But humans need something. They need to feel responsible for something. They need to feel useful, like they're giving back, they're doing something. And if you don't have that, then that's an empty feeling. So I always laugh online. You've seen these people in the online world who are promoting the whole laptop lifestyle, you know, sitting on a beach with dipping your toes in the sand and drinking pina coladas, you know, while you're refreshing your bank account and stuff. And yeah, that would be fun probably for a week or for a month or so, but I don't think I'd want to be doing that for 5 years, or certainly not 10 or 20 years.
Definitely not. I got to go out and I got to do stuff. I think, I didn't even know I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask this. It's about chasing and hunting and everything. So for me, I love, if people are like, you know, you got to get VAs, right? Those virtual assistants online. You got to do this. You got to do this. I love the hunt. Like, I'll Google some things. I'll research different conferences that are coming up. And then I'll find an event planner that's looking for a call for speakers. I'm like, ooh, let me talk about that. And then, you know, I'm talking with them about this and emailing back and forth, and boom, I lock it in. Like, it's like, I love that. I love the chase. I love the hunt. I love the negotiation. You know what I mean? I don't want someone to take that away from me. So what is it about you that really keeps you going?
Well, I'll be totally honest here. We're keeping it candid and real. I love money. Now, that's going to sound bad if you say, oh my God, a coach that loves money, but I think too many people in the coaching world shy away from that. They think, oh my God, if you love money, you're Gordon Gekko or J.R. Ewing or something like that. So I'm not saying it's just about the money, but I think that we go too far the other way in the coaching world, where there's a lot of negative feelings about money. That's, perfect example, I put a post up the other day in my Facebook group, and I said that if you're going to set a goal, monetary goal, shoot for $1 million instead of $100,000 a year. Because even if you fall short, let's say you get 300, 400,000, you're light years ahead of what you would have hit if you shot for 100,000. And, you know, most people agree with me, but I did have some people in there that were saying that essentially, you know, hinted that, hey, you're Gordon Gekko, you know, what are you doing here for saying that? You can't say that. And the issue we're having in our industry, and I think it's not just coaching, I think it's other ones, but there's people who I call Mother Teresa coaches. They think that you have to be barefoot in some village, you know, across the ocean in some little village working for free, or you're not in it for the right reasons. And the way I look at it is, hey, if you're performing a valuable service, you're giving all this stuff, you're helping people transform their lives, then yeah, you should be compensated well for it. So I'm not afraid to say it. I really like money and I want to make more money, because the more money I make, it means I'm impacting more people and I'm doing more out there in the world. So I always laugh when I see people try to pretend, oh, gee, it's not about the money. I could care less about the money, when in reality, they care about the money, man. They probably care about it more than people say that they do, but they want to play it off like they don't. And I don't know. It's disingenuous. I don't like that kind of – you should be able to say, hey, I'm in business to make a profit. I want to do good and help people, but I'm going to make money at the same time.
Right, absolutely. And like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because isn't that the goal anyways? You know, because you're not in it for the money. The money is the byproduct of the success that you've gained by helping other people.
Yeah, there's a great saying, Bob Berg, from the author of The Go-Giver, said this when he was on my podcast. He said, money is an echo of value. So if you're not putting enough value out into the marketplace, that's why your wallet or your bank account is empty. And I know that that's not a popular thing to say, but it's true. If you're giving some value out there, it's inevitable. You're going to be paid for it. And when I say value, you know what? Yeah, you could share motivational quotes and things like that. I love motivational quotes, don't get me wrong. But you got to bring more to the marketplace. People can Google. They can get motivational quotes anywhere. You know, they want to see something extra there. And I think, unfortunately, there's too many coaches and speakers that just they're vomiting out all these motivational quotes. And then nothing's coming back. And they're like, oh, man, well, I'm posting, you know, 10 times a day on Facebook. Yeah, well, you're also posting Tony Robbins quotes, Zig Ziglar, Maya Angelou, Oprah Winfrey. I want to hear what you're
Where's your quote?
Where's your quote? I'd rather see your quote. You know what? I love whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. You know, that's Napoleon Hill. And, you know, but that's not – I've heard that 1.2 million times in my life. I want to hear something a little bit different.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about that. So where are you headed now? What kind of new adventures, businesses that you have currently, family, what kind of stuff do you got going on?
Cool. I would like to, I've, as I mentioned, I started doing some speaking, so I am not in your world yet. I've been dipping my toe in and I like it. I got bitten by the bug after I spoke at Social Media Marketing World. So speaking is one of those things that for the last, I'm in my fourth year now for my coaching business, I couldn't do it in the earlier years because I was doing a daily podcast and didn't have any help. I have a VA that's come on board now, and I've got people supporting me. Now I can start to get away from Eastern Canada, preferably in the winter months, to somewhere a little bit warm. But speaking's on the horizon. I'm working on my first, I say real book, because I've released like digital books and stuff. But I'm working on my first actual real book, and I'm really pumped up about that, and I'm excited because I'm basically just laying it all out there. I said, you know what, I'm taking the filter off. It's a book for coaches, and I'm just going to speak what's on my mind. So I'm taking the approach. You ever see the movie Bullworth, Warren Beatty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so anyone who hasn't seen it, Bullworth, in a nutshell, he's a politician that just he's depressed. He decides he wants to end it all, so he hires a hitman to assassinate himself, which, you know, it's kind of a weird plot. But he does that because he wants his family to get the insurance money, his daughters, because they won't get it if he just commits suicide. So he figures, oh, I'm on the last weekend of the campaign trail, running for Senate in California. For re-election, I might as well just speak my mind because I'm going to get a bullet to the head here any minute. So I'll just say whatever I think and I'll speak the truth. And he becomes super popular because people are it's refreshing to see somebody that's actually speaking their mind. It's not double speak. He's just laying it all out there. And then he becomes super popular and decides he doesn't want to die and he's trying to avoid an assassin, you know, but that's what you can watch a movie. That's what I basically am doing with this book. I said, it's my Bullworth moment. I'm just going to lay it all out there. And you know what? If it ticks off some people, fine. It'll help a lot of people. And I'd rather do that than be in the mushy middle. I'd rather be polarizing.
Nice. So talk about your business. So how exactly do you help people kind of, give me an overview because I don't want you to give too much away, but talk about kind of the process. Like if somebody wanted to work with you, kind of what is the process of helping people build that successful business? What does that look like?
Sure. So I only work with coaches. Anyone who approaches me who, let's say, has a bricks and mortar business, if it's Joe's Widgets, I would refer him off to a coach I know that can help him. I don't work with anyone other than coaches. And essentially, I help coaches get more clients without paid advertising. So people that work with me, they're not going to hire me. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, you're going to need $5K for Facebook ads now. You know, and they're like, gee, I've just paid you. Now I can't pay $5K for Facebook ads. Everything I'm doing is organic. You know, it's things that you could do. Now, don't get me wrong. It's free stuff, but it's going to take a lot of work. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves and be consistent and disciplined. But that's what I do, you know, and most of the coaches I'm working with are in those first couple years of their business. They're often struggling to get traction and they just need some support from someone who's been there. And my main program, it really speaks to what my goal is with all my clients. It's called 10 clients in 90 days, my group program. I want my clients to have 10 coaching clients within the 3 months. 10 coaching clients, if you're charging what you should be charging, that's more than enough. Mm-hmm. You won't have to work with any more. You'll have a very successful business. So I'd rather my coaches be working with 10 people, compensating them properly, instead of chasing 30 or 40 people who are paying them peanuts.
Perfect. All right. Yeah, I mean, that's good info. So we're going to take a call real quick. We have a caller on the line that wants to know about branding, how to get his brand out there. So we will take this call. You're on with Life Transformation Radio. How can we help you with your branding?
Hey, how's it going? My name's Anthony. I live in Alabama, and I'm looking to start a dick-sucking business in the trailer park.
That's the joys of live radio.
You know what I mean? Live radio, man. So
yeah, I don't get this with podcasts. Anthony, thank you for your call. You've lightened our time here and made a really great show. So thank you for the value you brought with that call. We appreciate it.
Stupid. So Mark, if you had to go back, would you change anything? Would you do anything different?
Yes, I would have told you not to accept Anthony's call. But
I literally asked him. I was like, hey man, what's your question? Like, I want to field your question. He's like, yeah, I got a branding. You know, how do I get my brand out there properly? Do I use Facebook? And it's the same thing, man. I get on the call. I'm like, what's your question? And then they do the same thing when they come live.
Yeah,
so that's why I try to screen them.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I've developed Spidey Sense, and I could detect right there that we had a troll. And my Spidey senses were tingling when he started. He was a little too professional, and it was how he started. But anyways, A for effort, Anthony.
Perfect.
What would I have changed? That's a good question. I think what I would have probably changed is I would have done a lot of things sooner. So for example, my Facebook group, I wait, probably a year and a half or maybe 2 years to start my Facebook group, the Coaching Jungle. I would have started that sooner. You know, my podcast, I waited almost a year to launch it from when I started my business. I should have done it sooner, you know, instead of launching it November 2014. And anything, I could apply that to a number of things. Now I'm getting much better at just starting things sooner, you know, and I don't worry about over planning and having a perfect plan for this stuff. I just launch it, you know, and then I work out any of the kinks as is. So to answer your question, I would have probably started some of my things I'm doing with my business a little bit sooner.
Yeah. So the Coaching Jungle has 6,800 members in it. That is a huge group, man.
It's funny. I remember back when we were like 500 or so, and I thought, oh my God, imagine when we're at 1,000, you know, that's going to be awesome. So it's really cool. And it's a good group too. You know, we don't have a lot of the problems that a lot of big groups deal with spam a lot. Now, don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
People try to sneak through, but I shine out my boot. You know, we have a really, I don't mess around with spammers and stuff, and we're very clear on the rules. And I think that that's important. You know, if people are giving their time and their attention into a Facebook group, then you got to enforce the rules.
Right.
So I would do the same thing if I saw Sean Douglas post, you know, something, you're not a spammer, but for example, you post a bunch of promotional stuff on the wall, I would send you a message, hey, Sean, you know, can you keep it in this thread for promotion? But I would take it off the wall. I wouldn't say, oh, Sean's a friend, I'll leave it up there, you know, or whatever, because that breeds confusion. Yeah.
Right. You know what I noticed too is, you know, a lot of groups will have like themed days, you know, like Monday motivation, Tuesday tips, Wednesday winning. Like they always have the themes, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing I noticed though is that when you, whether you post a theme or not, right? Post something, ask a question or whatever, the engagement is insane. Some groups you'll have 5,000 members and five people talk. In this group, I mean, hundreds of people are always commenting, posting. Well, this is what I do. It's a very, very, very helpful group. You know, I sometimes look at different groups and kind of judge their engagement. I'm like, ooh, man, it's got 5,000 people. I only see the couple hundred names. I'm like, ugh, I don't know if this is a good group or not. But this one is super helpful, super amazing. You know, I love the things that go on. I post a couple things sometimes. Some aha moments that I've had, you know, and everybody's like, oh, good job, or I like this, or it's so engaging. How did you get that to be that way?
Well, I would like to take credit for it, but I think a big part of it is that coaches in general are very helpful people. They wouldn't be coaches if they didn't want to help people. And if this was a group of, what's an example? We'll pick on real estate agents now. But this is like the Bash Real Estate Hour, but you know, in different areas like real estate, for example, it's very much cut, in a lot of ways, cutthroat. You know, and we used to always say that the nice one stabbed you in the front, you know, in real estate. And that's just the way that industry is. I don't find coaching the same way. I mean, there's still this competition. I'm not saying we're dancing around singing Kumbaya, but I don't get that same sense. You know, if Sean gets a client, you know, in North Carolina, I'm not thinking, oh man, you know, grumble, grumble. That was I thought that'd be my client and he's taking food off my plate or whatever. I'm thinking, hey, good for you, Sean. And I move on to the next one. In my old life, it was very much if somebody got a listing that I was going after or vice versa, then there would be some, you know, negative feelings there about it. And a lot of cutthroat stuff. So I think coaches want to help each other. They're very positive. They know that the way to go is collaboration instead of competition. You can have friendly competition, but you can definitely collaborate with people. I've worked and done successful JVs with people who technically do the same thing as I do. And I've had people say, oh, gee, you had so-and-so on your podcast. He does the exact same thing as you. And I'm like, yeah, but that also exposes me to his network as well. And it's going to go both ways.
Oh, yeah.
Get to know each other. We could do business. We could do joint ventures. And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. 100% agree. And what I've noticed too is that there's just a different type of person. You know, they're not posting, like you said, they're not just posting like the motivational quotes, like keep going, you know, like it's more than that. And there's always different tips and tricks that people are throwing out. Like, hey, I just noticed this, wanted to give this to you guys. There's a lot of value in, like, because people say that your network equals your net worth, and your net worth is your network. You know what I mean? So there's a lot that I think the coaching jungle brings that a lot of other groups may be missing out on, you know, and exactly what you said, you know, you lay the law down, like, look, this is what we're doing. This is the culture, because I firmly believe that you get what you tolerate. So if there's something in your relationship, is there something, you know, in the group, is there something in your, you know, family, is there something, you know, you get what you tolerate in business, everywhere. In culture, you get what you tolerate. So if you lay the law, says this is it, and you're unrelenting in it, I believe that you build that culture that says this is unacceptable, this is acceptable, and there's no blurring the lines.
I agree. There was a Facebook group I was in years ago, and very nice admins. I know them. They're great coaches, but they're a little lax on the group, or I'd say they're very lax. And that group used to be good. There used to be good, valuable information going back and forth, discussions, debates, conversations. And now it's spam city. I mean, you go in there and it's just like, buy my stuff, sell, sell, sell. And it's just everyone just throwing up whatever offer they have. And there's no value really being in there anymore. I left the group because I'm like, okay, it's no sense being in here. That was I learned what I didn't want for the coaching jungle with that. I didn't want it to be spam city. You know, I want it to be good conversation, something that people can get something every day that they go in there. So it's tons of value in there. I've had people say that they get more from the group than they do from paid programs. And that feels pretty good to hear that.
Oh, definitely. So what do you think was the best resource that you found during your journey?
Best resource? You know, I would have to say the best one would be a book, which I mentioned, Thick Face, Black Heart. I think that should be required reading for any entrepreneurs. It was written by Chin-Ning Chu, is her name, back in the early 90s. And it's just, it's really hard to give a talking point for how this book is because it's got so much in there. But that book will help toughen up your skin. So if you get callers like Anthony from Alabama, you're cool. You're not going to, you know, cry yourself to sleep and eat ice cream and, you know, stuff tonight. You have a thick skin because you need that in business. If you don't have a thick skin, you're screwed. So that book is kind of a cross between, I say, Think and Grow Rich and The Art of War. You know, it's got a lot of Asian principles that people in the West just don't know about. So Thick Face, Black Heart. Read it and you won't regret it.
Wow. Yeah, I do. I love The Art of War. There's so many like aha moments in there, and it's so simple to understand, yet it's just like the most complicated thing ever. You know what I mean? Like I read it and I'm like, holy crap, it seems so simple, but you know, you would just never understand it if you weren't in that mindset to receive that message. You know what I mean?
Business is war, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, I see in my world a lot, there's a lot of woo-woo coaches. I'm not a woo-woo guy, right? But you see a lot of coaches that manifest things and shoot out positive vibrations and all that stuff. And the problem there is they're very, they're not ready for that real world when they get hit hard by something or someone, you know, and suddenly they think, okay, is the universe mad at me or whatever? Well, no, that person's just a dink, right? And they're coming at you. So you got to protect yourself. And Thick Face, Black Heart is all about protecting yourself because humans are unpredictable creatures in a lot of ways, but a lot of what we do is very predictable and it's been that way for thousands of years. And this book is really a handbook to show you how humans operate and how you can defend yourself against the actions of others.
Boom. I love it. Was there someone that gave you a resource that really elevated what you were doing?
Gave me a resource. This wouldn't be a resource, but this is something that really elevated what I was doing is I have to thank John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire. When I got started with podcasting, I joined one of his programs and I basically learned the ropes through what he's doing. And I ended up having later on him and his girlfriend, Kate, were on my show. Then I went on EO Fire and it's just really cool. And, you know, John's a great guy because his show I listened to a lot when I was beginning my journey. But then also to help me with that podcasting start. And I can say that podcasting, my business pre-podcast, post-podcast, night and day. So the podcast is really the reason that got my business going. You know, it was a daily show, started in late 2014, and that's what really got me up on a lot of people's radars. So I would thank John for giving me the gift of podcasting. He definitely helped me there in the early days. And lots of great podcasters that have motivated me to keep going. there were some days, you know what it's like doing shows. There's some days you don't feel it, right? And I was looking at those people that kept me going. So it's not a physical resource that you can actually touch, like a book or something like that, but still very valuable.
Right. You know, the one thing I learned was that, you know, for guests, you know, there's a whole thing that goes into it. Like, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving the most value to the listeners or whatever. But, you know, the one thing that I learned was that if you want to have, you know, a certain criteria or whatever, just write out a dream list. Like, who is your dream list? And that's what I did. I wrote up my dream list. I'm like, man, Tom Ziegler would be awesome. And Tony Robbins. And like, who would I, you know, and Gary Vaynerchuk shot me down in less than 5 minutes. I hit the send button and I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. And then I heard a ding and I looked. I was like, hey, bro, I'm just too damn busy. And this time, I was like, all right.
That's cool.
Hey, I don't know if it was like a pre-recorded. But yeah, it was, yeah, just like Gary V at the bottom, you know, and he's like, hey, man, hit me back later, you know, whatever. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, but I've had like Bruce Buffer on the show, you know, Tom Ziegler. I had Frank Shankiewicz, who is the Make-A-Wish founder, you know, and I wrote out a dream list. I'm like, who do I want on the show, you know? And so I'm always like, who's doing the, you know, amazing things, you know? It doesn't have to be someone famous, you know, like you're doing amazing things, you know? And since I've been in the coaching jungle, I've learned a ton from you and your group. And that's what I literally wrote out, you know, a dream list, you know, Russell Brunson and Brendan Burchard and like all these top level guys. Like I would love to, I put John Lee Dumas on there, you know, I'm like, I just want to soak up and try to provide as much value as I can, you know, but at the same time learning and doing it. So that's my suggestion to everybody. When you're starting, you know, before you even book a guest, like write down a dream list and then email and message and whatever, like go after it and do it.
Well, you never know what's going to happen. And people, they say they try, but they send one or two messages. And we mentioned Wall Street earlier, Gordon Gekko, but I don't know if you remember in the original movie, Bud Fox, played by Charlie Sheen, when he was trying to get to meet Gekko, he had to literally call his office every single day for, I forgot, 50 days or something. Like, he finally got in, I think, on Gekko's birthday. He brought him a gift or something. What would most people do nowadays? They would try, oh, I'll call two or three times. Couldn't get through to him. I gave it a good college try. I'll move on. And but then they would say, well, I tried. I gave it my – and there's that great motivational speech. Eric Thomas talks about you got to want it, how bad you want it, where the fellow wants to be –
When you breathe?
Yeah, that's right. A fellow goes to a guru and says, I want to be successful like you. The guy says, meet me down at the beach tomorrow. So the old guy, he meets the young guy down at the beach. He takes him into the water, and then he holds his head down, the young guy's head underwater. The young guy's flailing away or whatever and can't hardly breathe. Finally, the old guy lifts his head up, and he says, you know, when you want success as much as you want air, then you'll be successful. Something like that, to paraphrase. And that's something that's really, really missing, I think, in the online world nowadays. Everyone wants it quick. They want 7 figures in a month working 2 minutes a day.
Oh, yeah. You know, if they had their chance, you know, they would just sit on the couch and just let the things rake in. They just wouldn't have to do anything, you know. I can't do that. My body, my brain is not hardwired for that. I've got to do stuff, you know. I love the journey. I love the grind. That's just me. Like, I just my wife gets super pissed off because – you're on another call? Not who you talking to. Who are you over here with? I was like, you know what? Bruce Buffer was on my show, and Mark, and Tom Ziegler, and Frank, and like all these guys, like they're on my show. And like, you know what I mean? Like that's why I do what I do, because of this moment right here where I get to sit down with amazing people and just learn a bunch of stuff and then promote it out to as many people as I can. You know, it's like, it's just, I don't know. It's just the grind. I love it. You know,
it's addictive. It can be dangerous, you know. And after I read Grant Cardone's 10x rule, usually a couple times a year. I love it. There's great stuff in there, but I have to also be careful because I could go to the other line back in my workaholic real estate days where I want to work, you know, 22 hours a day, something like that. So I'm trying to find that balance where I'm still enjoying life, but I'll always be geared more towards the hustle side, like you and like Gary V, as opposed to the comparative side. That's, you know, the 4-hour work week and people trying to, you know, whittle down their work to as little time as possible so they can spend the rest of the time on the beach. That's just not me.
Yeah, no, that's not me either. So Mark, as we close the show, This is the moment where we do a shameless plug. You can plug your friend, quotes, websites, Facebook, products, your business, movies, give a shout out, whatever you want to do. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug moment, go.
Shameless plug. I'm doing something really cool now, and nothing against my friends. I'd love to plug them, but I'll plug myself. I'm doing a group coaching program, and it's called 10 Clients, 90 Days. And it's working really well for the people going through it. And I've got new ones starting regularly, so it's not like I'm doing it once a year. Got another one coming up next month. And if you want to find out more information, go to 10clients90days.com, and that's the numeric 10 and 90. So 10clients90days.com, or you could go to naturalborncoaches.com. I've got everything on there, you know, the 515 podcast episodes and all the ways I can help coaches.
Awesome. I love it. So as we wrap up, what is your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone?
Best nugget. I will share an acronym that I read from one of Robin Sharma's books, and it was KMF, which stands for Keep Moving Forward. So if you're an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you can be a coach or any entrepreneur, you're going to have to probably tattoo that on your body somewhere to remind you, or at least remember it, have it burned into your brain, because it's a, you know what it's like. It's a ton of fun. It's addictive, but man, it plays head games with you. There are ups and downs. You're on the top of the world one day at 10 a.m. and then by 2 p.m. you're in the dumps because some deal fell apart or a client's
leaving. Oh, yeah.
And then by supper time, you're back on top of the world again. And it's like just up, down, up, down. That's what makes it exciting. So keep moving forward, KMS.
Perfect. I love that. And give us a call to action. What should someone do? We already talked about, naturalborncoaches.com, the Coaching Jungle Facebook group and coachingjungle.com. But to get started, you know, what should someone do? Give a call to action.
I'll share a book. I'm actually just finished reading the audio book for Mel Robbins, The 5-Second Rule. And that is an excellent book because the problem with most online entrepreneurs is just getting started. They procrastinate and they overthink it and they can't take action. The 5-Second Rule sounds very simplistic, but it shows you how in 5 seconds you can trick your brain into taking action. And I won't be able to go into it all here, but read that book. And it's an incredible book. The 5-Second Rule, Mel Robbins. You won't regret it.
Perfect. Man, this has been a lot of fun. And I've learned a lot. And I've got a bunch of notes. So, man, thank you so much for your time, Mark.
Yeah, and thanks for all that you do, Sean. I love your passion, everything that you're doing for coaches, speakers, entrepreneurs, all that stuff. So kudos.
Thank you so much. And, going forward, I got to get better about screening some calls.
It's all good. Man. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, no kidding, right? If anybody, so anybody listening, you know, if you only listen to the show to see if what trolls will show up, you know, you're still listening and you might get some value. So,
what's the deal with guys? I don't know. Have you ever had a female troll? I don't know. For most part,
never.
It's some dude in his parents' basement in Boise, Idaho, right? And it's, you know, eating Cheetos, playing on the computer. You wouldn't hear, I'm being totally sexist here, but against men in this case, you generally don't see female trolls or. They're too busy doing other stuff, you know. Come on, guys. Stay classy.
They're too busy on, on like Etsy and, the other like Pinterest stuff. You know, they're too busy, you know, doing stuff on there. So, yeah, but I want to thank you for your time. And I can't wait to, to talk to you more, learn more about you and, just add value to the coaching jungle.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me, Sean.
Absolutely. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another episode. You never know what's going to happen. That's the joys of live radio. But if anything has resonated with you, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher. The show will be uploaded in about a day or two. And you can leave a comment. You can leave a review, a rating. Get a hold of Mark again, naturalborncoaches.com. The guy is super, super successful and will elevate you in every area of your business. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold in your heart. I call that living your brand. And until next time, have a good night.